Welcome, welcome to all you Wahoos and ACC sports fans. Frank Maloney here with Jim Hobgood. We're in studio and
little bonus show, special show, final show of season 7, and a sad night for the Wahoo Nation after what happened this past weekend, unexpectedly with the baseball season ending prematurely.
Yeah, I was there. It was a little painful. And at the same time, there are a lot of highlights from the spring season, many of which are very uplifting.
Your main man, Brian Bolin, with another piece of hardware.
Hey.
Three out of four is not too shabby.
His third national title. And, you know, if there is a coach of the year, I think we'd have to tip our hat to Brian.
If not for tennis, we would have been shut out this academic year from national titles.
It's not over yet. It's still not over yet. We still got the track and field guys. Heading out to Eugene, Oregon for the national championships out there. But
they're doing a little advanced work for the football team.
Yeah.
Going out and checking it out.
Anyway.
Speaking of baseball, how about our guests tonight? We got a baseball pitcher. We got a recruiter. We got a football coach.
Well, let's talk about the big hitter. First off, we have UVA head football coach Bronco Mendenhall joining us later in the program. We've got former UVA star pitcher Andrew Caraway. I think everyone's going to enjoy his visit.
Maybe he can explain to us what happened.
Well, I'm not so worried about that. You know, when you win the national title the year before and you're a national runner-up the year before that, you're going to stub your toe every now and then because expectations are through the roof. And everybody knew that this was a young team, and anybody that followed them all year knew that maybe they were overachieving a little bit.
And had some injuries, particularly on the pitching side, too,
yeah,
right?
Everybody needs to back off a little bit and relax. Want to tip the hat to Danielle Collins, national champion singles for the female. She's a senior. And to have won two of the last three singles championships, not too shabby. And we're going to call her the LeClaire Ryan Player of the Month. I mean, what a spectacular career for the UVA women. And for that matter, they finished in the Elite Eight again. And although they're not quite at the level of Final Four material, they are knocking on the door, and
they're getting there.
They've been very impressive.
Clearly, Virginia, we may not be a tennis school, but we're close. I mean,
what are you talking about? We are definitely a tennis school.
Well, we're a tennis school. I'm just saying, the dominant sport. You know, we're not quite there yet.
No, I don't know. They won 140 straight ACC dual matches.
You know, the one thing that struck me, not only the Sweet 16 appearances, but I think, you know, Bolin like 9 or 10 times out of the last 11 years in the Final Four or something like that. I mean, or national semifinals, maybe 9 out of 10 years. Some mind-boggling statistic that I read along the way.
Well, they won, I think they won either 9 or 10 consecutive ACC tournament titles.
Yeah.
And Virginia was a finalist this year. But you know what? They saved their best for last, and they beat Oklahoma again out there in Tulsa to win the national title.
An amazing level of excellence.
Hey, Brian Bolin's over in Europe right now, signing another superstar, so who knows?
But the man knows how to recruit, I think. You
he's,
know?
He's a worldwide recruiter.
He doesn't go down to Chesterfield. He goes to Sweden or some places like that.
He's on Wahoo Air Force One flying all
what
over the
What kind of budget does he have here?
Unlimited.
What's going on?
Hey, we got to win the title. Hey,
I think you were going to say something about Dom Starshit, too,
well,
right?
Well, I want to, you know, first off say that I was very sorry to see the way things unfolded with the non-signing or renewal of Dom Starshit's contract as the UVA lacrosse coach. 24 years at the helm, 4 national titles, numerous trips to the Final Four. He lost twice in the national finals, so they could have won 6 national titles on his watch. The last 4 years have been tough, no doubt about it. And
he deserved
a much better exit.
Yeah.
And
he's an icon in the lacrosse world, and just a terrific guy and a frequent guest on the show, and we certainly appreciate all his gracious visits to Who's Talking.
And what a terrific guest every single time he came on the show. It appears that a former Wahoo will be named his successor. Mark Corrigan out there at Notre Dame, a former UVA player who actually graduated with me in the class of 82. If all reports are correct, he will be named either tonight or tomorrow as the new head coach of the Cavalier program. And if that is the case, we wish him the best.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's see here.
And I don't know if you mentioned Chris Horn, our recruiting guru. You mentioned Chris is going to be on the show later this half hour with a kind of football update, maybe a basketball recruiting update. So as you have taught me over the years, everyone is always interested in recruiting news.
Yeah, particularly football. And there's a lot to talk about. So we will have Chris Horn on later in the half hour. But shortly, Andrew Caraway and I believe Air engineer is working on that right now.
Yeah, we're going to have Andrew talking a little baseball. He's going to call back. Might have had a connection problem with Andrew. He was a starting pitcher at Virginia. Is that right?
He was not only a starting pitcher, he was a star pitcher.
Star starter.
Yeah, and you know, just to get this out of the way, when he graduated from the program and he lived on the lawn and he was an academic whiz kid, he finished
it's very similar to you and me, I think.
Yes, he finished fourth in win percentage, and he was sixth in career wins and strikeouts. Went on for a very exciting career in minor league baseball, 6 years. And we've got Andrew on the line. Andrew, you there?
I'm here.
Very good. All right, I understand we had some technical difficulties, but glad you could make it. We were just talking about your somehow the coaching staff found you down in Marietta, Georgia, where you were apparently picking peaches, but apparently learned how to throw the baseball. And talk to us a little bit about maybe your recruitment and how you ended up at UVA.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think I found them. I was the kind of baseball player that develops gradually. So in at any high-level youth sports, you're going to have the 16-year-old. And if it's baseball, there's 16-year-olds that are throwing 90, 95 miles an hour already. Well, my family was very patient with me and drove across the country for traveling tournaments and kind of supported that development. But I can tell you it was a gradual process. I was definitely not the type that was head and shoulders above the rest at, I think I can say, any point in my 20-year baseball career. And so I think my parents would also attest that we worked hard to try to find a good opportunity. And I was at an academic-oriented baseball showcase. So this is the kind of place where you've got schools like Davidson and West Point, Furman in South Carolina. And Virginia happened to be there. And so they saw me there and invited me to go to a camp. So I actually went up to a camp and pitched for them again. And I think they liked what they saw enough to give me a jersey, and that was about it. So,
Do you remember what coach you talked to primarily?
Yeah, it was Coach Kuhn.
Okay,
still on the staff.
Okay,
and so he saw me at one of these showcases, and then my parents drove me up to Charlottesville, and I was up there again, and so it was really a situation where I felt like nothing would be given to me. I could have gone to a smaller school and had a shot maybe ultimately at a weekday starting rotation spot. But just felt like the ceiling at Virginia was something that I couldn't pass up and didn't know how it was going to go. And my parents were supportive all along the way. It was my decision and just wanted a shot to be in the ACC to see how that might play out. And I am ultimately incredibly happy with my decision and couldn't say more about my time there.
Obviously, you had to keep Carl Kuhn pretty happy. He only had a 20-5 record at Virginia, which is pretty outstanding. But when you see Carl walk out to the mound and put his hands on the shoulders of the pitcher who is laboring, what is he telling those poor guys?
You know, it's funny you say that now because I was watching the games the last few days and watching that closely. And you can really tell when you're watching that he's up close. He's very physical. He's got his hand on the guy's shoulder. Sometimes he's got it resting on the pitcher's cheek. And I can tell you the way Coach Kuhn coaches, a lot of it is through motivation. And he's very good at teaching his pitchers to learn how to manage the game, to learn how to take situations in stride. There's a leadoff double, and that's happened. It's behind you. Now you have a runner on second base and no outs, and Coach Kuhn is very big on preaching it only matters what happens next. And so rather than being out there and walking step by step through what's happened or what you're going to do. A lot of what Coach Kuhn is doing is bringing that pitcher into a place where he's going to be able to manage himself, manage his emotions. And so maybe it's a time where he's got to pump the pitcher up. Maybe it's a time where he brings him down a little bit. But a lot in that program is built around staying calm in difficult situations, paying attention to little things. And as a 19-year-old guy, it's easy to get caught up in the emotion of a leadoff double. And so a lot of what Coach Kuhn is going to do is bring you back and help you to stay in that moment and realize, all I can do right now is throw this one pitch the best that I can. Once that ball leaves my hand, there's nothing I can do. And so he's guiding that kind of thought process, and is very good at it, obviously.
You know, we're speaking with Andrew Caraway, who graduated from Virginia in 2009. You played with some terrific players, not the least of which is Jarrett Parker and Tyler Wilson, who are both right now in the majors. Tyler with the Orioles and Jarrett Parker with the Giants. I also see that you played with Sean Doolittle, Brandon Guyer, David Adams, Danny Holson, I love your story. When he made his first visit to Charlottesville, didn't you chaperone him around or something like
that?
That's right.
Yeah. And for college sports, you have one official visit per school. And Coach O'Connor put Danny with me, so I was his host on his official visit on his recruiting trip.
And thank God you didn't blow that.
So I'm pretty sure that Danny had already committed, and so I can't take any credit for helping him get to Virginia. I can just not take the blame for blowing and having him decide to go to UNC or something like that. But yeah, I was lucky to cross some, to be right in the middle of a really talented group. And when I came in, you know, you've got pitchers like Mike Ballard, Casey Lambert, really, really good UVA pitchers that I think, these days when you have Danny Holton, Will Roberts, Tyler Wilson, the more recent guys, those other guys that were fantastic might be pushed to the back of someone's mind. But I can tell you that what's really cool about what Coach O'Connor and Kuhn and McMullen have set up is you've got the older guys that show the younger guys the ropes. And so watching Mike Ballard, Casey Lambert, Michael Schwimmer, for me, brought me into this system where I was fortunate to then be in a position where I could, you know, kind of help along Danny and Tyler Wilson and those guys that joined the UVA family a little bit later.
Andrew, this is Jim Hopgood. Long before you were there, I played basketball at Virginia once upon a time. I guess a little bit bigger ball, but talk a little bit about starting pitching, closing pitching. Obviously, the disappointment of this past weekend not being able to finish out the bottom of the ninth inning against East Carolina. Were you ever a closer, or did you do starting and mid-relief?
Sure, yeah. So I did mostly everything except for closing. My style of pitching worked better at the beginning or the middle of the game. And the reason I talk more about managing the game is a big difference between the two is as a starting pitcher, you have the ability or the luxury to give up a couple runs over six, over seven innings, and you've done a really good job. And your job as a starting pitcher is to work your way through whatever situation presents itself in a way that you keep your team in the game. You're not trying to win the game. You're just trying to keep your team in the game. As a closer, as a guy that comes out and faces four batters, you are bringing everything you got to those four batters, those 12 pitches. And that's why, as you see this weekend, late in the game, the margin for error is really small. And one of Coach K's has a lot of sayings, and one of them is you can give up crooked numbers early but not late. And I think you'll see that with interviews with Coach O'Connor sometimes. And so that's a big difference between the two. But I think you saw Tommy Doyle out there this weekend, a closer throwing back-to-back days. And late in the year, you're gonna give it everything you got. And Coach O'Connor's going to put that guy out there who he feels like gives him the best chance. And so your closer turned into a long reliever and also the closer. And that's a tough situation. As far as the disappointment of this weekend goes, I think it's maybe a reminder to Cavaliers fans that have gotten spoiled recently with some unbelievable success late in the year that it's really hard to win a regional. I was actually on two teams that hosted regionals my freshman and sophomore year. Really, really good teams where I wasn't a huge part of that. So not sure I was a big threat to that, but with guys like Sean Doolittle, Jacob Thompson, as older guys kind of leading that team. And we hosted a regional both of those years and just had the ball not bounce our way and ended up in the same position that these guys found themselves this year. And it's crushing, obviously, but it's a tough game, and it's really hard to come out of one of those things on top. So just gives you even more appreciation for some of the recent success that Coach O'Connor and the guys have had.
Well, certainly on the Internet over the last 2 days, I had to remind quite a few people wherever I had the opportunity that maybe they need to rethink their paradigm a little bit and not be so critical. But, you know, Andrew, enjoyed meeting you this past year and having lunch with you and Gary Wallace. And one of the questions we always want to probe is, what was your favorite moment as a Cavalier athlete?
Oh, well, that one's easy for me. So in 2009, we had just made it through what they called the regional of death, where we faced Steven Strasburg in the first mm-hmm. game. And that gave us the privilege of facing UC Irvine, that had been ranked number one for the majority of the year, and came out of that, won the regional. We're then in Oxford, Mississippi, playing Ole Miss, and we're down one game in that best of three series. Ended up coming back and winning the second two. And my memory there is I was out in the bullpen. It was late in the game, the third game. Kevin Orrico was on the mound, and his last pitch was a called strike three. And he launched his glove into the air, and immediately everyone in the dugout, everyone from the bullpen. I think I was kind of lucky because I was in the bullpen, so I had about a 100-yard run to take it all in, and then just launched myself onto the dog pile that had already formed on the mound. And, I mean, I think also to put it in perspective for a guy like me that feels now like I played a really long time ago, is that back in 2009, we had never won a regional before. We hadn't won a super regional, so we'd never been in the College World Series. And I was actually just catching up with a guy in D.C., Scott Silverstein, who was a great UVA pitcher. And he said something like, oh, yeah, that year, 3 years ago, we didn't even make it out of a regional then. And it's just funny how the perspective changes so quickly. But for us to win that regional and that super regional, when the goal of this whole program had been Omaha for so long, and we've worked so hard to get there, it was something that I know I'll never forget, and is a really special moment.
All right, Andrew, we really appreciate your reminiscing and your taking a few minutes to visit with us, and I think we're all confident that we've got Coach O'Connor leading maybe one of the best programs in the country, and next year will
absolutely
be different.
The last thing I'd say is it's all three. It's Coach O'Connor, Coach Kuhn, and Coach McMullen.
Yes.
That you've been able to keep those three coaches together for 12 years, and they're all so good at what they do. I think the credit goes to that whole system they've developed, and they've been able to be there doing this for so long. I'm lucky to be a part of it.
Well, we appreciate your visiting Who's Talking. Best of luck to you, and we'll look forward to having you back and talking more baseball down the road.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on. It was fun. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew.
Andrew Caraway, former Who baseball player. We'll be back after these messages. We'll have a quick slot with Chris Horn, recruiting guru from the Sabres. Stay tuned.